subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
All right, this is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 330. And that's not just an arbitrary number I made up because it's round. We're recording on September 25th, and I'm hosting instead of Kilby or J.D. Woo!
We're sorry.
If everybody's turned off the show now, I understand. So, joining me this week, we have, as usual, Headmaster Don with his Miracle Whip and actual cheese, because he's out of Velveeta this week. We've got Diecast, who really wants a brownie.
Yes.
We've got Paladin joining us again, and I have nothing clever to say about him. And he's here in a very pink shirt.
It's orange.
Really?
Yes. Pink on this side.
You got some lighting.
Oh, your camera sucks.
Yeah, I do have lighting issues over here. But no,
the pink fits
orange.
From what it's... I heard, though. So.
Oh, orange lantern.
Quiet, Don.
Time out.
Well, that was
not cool. Even a minute in.
Okay, so let's see. First news item is XV is hosting. We covered that. All right, so this past week, the official images and bio summaries for Transformers Generations skins, Goldfire, Bumblebee, Waspinator, and Dreadwing have gone up. Everybody take a look at these?
Yeah, and just today they all went up for pre-order at Big Bad Toy Store.
They did, and so did the first Voyager wave with Rhinox and Double Dealer that nobody cares about. Double Deal.
No, Ryan. Yeah. Double Deal.
That kind of surprised me, but that's just because I assumed Whirl was the same wave as Rhinox, but I was wrong.
Yeah, no, Whirl is the second Voyager wave of the 2014 series, even though these are coming out in November.
And I love how both of the repaints, the Gold Bug or Gold Fire repaint of Bumblebee and the Dreadwing repaint of Megatron, they both look better than the originals.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's not hard to look better than that Megatron toy.
I just ordered the whole set of four at Big Bad Toy Store because these all look pretty good.
I don't know. Skids just still counts like a miss to me.
Okay.
He looks tough.
The problem I have with Skids is the color.
I'm looking at his legs and I'm.
Oh, yeah.
I can't figure out what the hell is going on the knees down.
He should be darker blue. I agree.
Okay, so I think what's going on with Skids' legs, the knees are made to look like the feet on the Diaclone car toys. And then, of course, you know, they only had half a leg at that point, so they had to tack some more on underneath it so he'd be full height. But yeah, somebody observed that the Skids toy is basically using the coloring style of More Than Meets the Eye as a guide, and the More Than Meets the Eye colors are kind of muted and washed out, so they're all lighter than they should be. That's why Chrome Dome looks like he's made of mustard instead of being chocolate. But yeah, I really would have liked a darker blue Skids here. Something's just not right about the way that plastic color looks.
Yeah, at least
so what are the repaint potentials for that mold?
Maybe a crosscut?
That mud was, flap?
Oh.
Search your feelings, you know it be true.
Yeah, I know. Crosscut was the Japanese e-hobby recolor of the reissue Skids. I'd kind of like that just for more new different characters. As for likely stuff, nothing like springs right to mind. But I'm sure they can figure out something to do with it. What the hell is Don doing?
Probably picking up Crosscut.
Probably. Crosscut? Yeah.
Crosscut.
How did I guess?
It's like you talk to Don for hours and hours every week, Paladin. I can't imagine. So anyway.
You are once one being. If we meet again, we will fuse back together like Piccolo and Kami.
There's something kind of creepy about that, Paladin.
Yeah, I hate
Dragon
Ball Z.
I'm not sure for who.
Where would the join point be?
I hate Dragon Ball Z, and even that gives me the willies.
Have you ever watched Dragon Ball Z Abridged, Don?
I do not want anything to do with anything related to Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Kai, Dragon Ball GT, the whole franchise. I mean,
well, nobody likes GT.
But Kim Possible is a good show.
Miko is in Dragon Ball Abridged On.
And that's the voice of our producer for this week, Brian Kilby.
Sorry, I'm sick.
Who just can't stay out of anything.
That's the least believable cough.
Okay, it's a stomach virus. It's not something like that. I just can't go.
But you just,
well, you could.
Sure you do.
If you're JD,
Wednesday.
You could.
That was uncouth.
Just move the headset down closer to your ass.
It's already there. I can't. You know.
Yeah, the JD Church style of podcasting.
Yes. And because Brian's on camera, he doesn't need to wear any clothes.
True.
And there goes the episode.
I'm kind of encouraged by the way Goldfire looks, because I didn't think the toy itself was bad.
Yeah.
It's really just that really waxy yellow plastic that most of it was made of that made it look terrible.
And the paint that didn't match.
Yeah, the non-color matching didn't help any at all.
But
I skipped out on the first release because I really don't need another damn Bumblebee, but this looks a lot better.
Design-wise, it's not a bad toy. It's a little simple for a deluxe, and it's not the strongest of the wave, but it's really not bad.
I will be disappointed if they end up using this same mold for the rumored Nightbeat deluxe, though.
As well as this got fan repainted into a Nightbeat, I'm not sure they're going to, you know, do a third run of this mold as the Nightbeat toy. Hopefully that'll be a new mold that's more suitable.
So I guess Hasbro lost the Goldbug name?
Well, do you remember in 2010 or 2011, the Generations Legends wave came out with the little Optimus and Megatron, and they did a Goldbug version of that Bumblebee from Universe, but they called it Gold Bumblebee, so even then they didn't have the Goldbug name available.
I wonder who does have it.
Probably nobody. It's probably just a name that's too generic to be able to defend well.
Because now I just want Goldfire to come out and be like on fire, and Prime go, "Oh, you're alive." And he'd just go, "Yeah, I'm on fire." And we'll call you Goldfire from now on.
Kilby points out in text that it's Harmony Goldbug.
So that's why nobody wants it.
The strongest association I have with the Goldfire thing, they were going to use that in animated for a recolor of Grimlock. But the solicitations for it left the D out, so it was Golf Ire Grimlock, and somebody did a piece of fan art of Grimlock playing golf.
While on fire?
No. No,
then what's the point?
It wasn't golf.
Everything's
fire.
Better when you're on fire.
Exactly.
So I have good associations with the Goldfire prefix because of that, which, you know, makes absolutely no sense, but that's how most associations in my head work.
Still, it's good they remembered that name detail, at least.
Speaking of associations that make no sense, Transformers Subscription Service 2.0 Chrome Dome's been revealed.
Hooray.
Well, it doesn't look bad at all. It's just
It looks dreadful.
The head is horrible.
The head is brutally
misshapen. My eyes.
Thank God for Fans Project.
Wow.
Yeah, the head looks a little stretched out in this mock-up. I'm kind of hoping that's just a trick of how it was photoshopped together and the actual sculpt will be more or less terrible.
Well, they've got such a good track record on that.
Yeah. Yeah, is it any wonder that the two toys I want out of the next subscription service are ones that had Hasbro-designed heads?
Also not feeling that giant Autobot symbol on his...
It's not just the giant Autobot symbol on the hood. It's that there's three Autobot symbols on the top of the car in vehicle mode.
Sort of makes that whole disguise thing stand on shaky ground.
Remember Universe in 2004?
Sort of.
Yes. In front of?
That's again.
Yeah.
I'm fine if they put Autobot logos on the hood. Just don't make them crooked, because that's what my circuit is. It's crooked down the center, and when it splits apart, it's not even, and it just drives me nuts. Leave it off. If you can't get it right, don't put it on.
You know what would work, though, on this Chrome Dome? If we replace the Autobot symbols with giant American flags. Because the more of those you put on a car, the better it looks.
You know what? Take the two that are on the shoulders in robot mode, make those American flags, and then in place of the giant Autobot symbol on the hood, you put an eagle.
Yes.
Now that's patriotism right there.
Where the hell is that America. Coming from?
What, Don?
Nothing. Just keep on keeping on. It's...
Well, then quit slowing us down.
The club did tweet a couple days ago that they've been listening to fan response on the second subscription service reveals, and there may be some modifications to some of the decos forthcoming if there's still time before they're sent on to production.
They're going to be like, well, we didn't have time, and you know, but 3.0, we're going to do that, and you guys can, you know.
We told the factory what to do, but they just didn't do what we said.
Yeah. We're going to do whatever the hell we want because you're going to give us money anyway. That is the subscription club service motto.
The way I see this going down is the pre-orders for the subscription will open up, which, you know, we're still waiting for that, for even the price. And everybody will have to put in their orders first, and then afterward they'll say, well, we didn't have time to get these done and posted before the ordering period, but here's what the toys are actually going to look like now that you've paid for them. That's the pattern I see forming. Okay, so I thought this next thing was pretty interesting. It's the original prototype for the deluxe Megatron Megabolt toy from Beast Machines, then Robots in Disguise, which is it's fairly different to the actual produced toy.
But it still doesn't transform into the spaceship mode.
No, it doesn't. I don't think they would be able to do that at the deluxe size. I thought it was interesting, though, the head mode only really looks like the leg and tank pack is taken off of it. It looks mostly the same otherwise, but the robot's very different. Well, what you can infer of the robot,
robot the transformation is incomplete.
Yeah, we're looking at the back of the toy here. But my guess is that it transforms mostly similarly. If you remember the Megatron Megabolt toy, there's actually like a separate disc in between the front and back section, so you can swing the legs from the bottom to the top, and it looks like that does something similar here. It's just the arms are then contained a little bit differently and have an articulated thumb. Hmm. I have both forgotten and now kind of miss the articulated hands and sometimes articulated faces on the Beast Machines toys. It was kind of a different design style. But does anybody feel, you know, a little jip we didn't get this version of Megatron Megabolt instead of the one we got?
Not really.
Either way, it's still Beast Machines.
Yeah, I've got the regular Megabolt Megatron, and I haven't touched it in years. It's just sitting on the shelf and in head mode. It's just
You take the legs off, I mean the head mode is fine.
Yeah, and then you just add on Fort Max.
Yeah. And fall off his head.
It's just really, you know, when I think of the good toys from Beast Machines, and there were a few, that's not
very few.
Oh, that's not fair.
Nearly all of them Viacons.
I liked a lot of the Maximals better than the Viacons.
And we still have never got a Botanica figure.
And we never
will. Nor should we.
Okay, so let's get into some third-party stuff here. There's been updates to the Perfect Effect Warden Fort Max figure. Now it shows its own vehicle mode, which is certainly a box on treads.
Where do you see that? I can't find that photo.
It is not in what you linked us.
Well, crap.
It comes with a gun now, which is nice.
It does come with a gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because just Fort Max definitely needs more guns.
Okay, let me see if I can update this real quick.
Well, I see the picture with the Warden figure in head mode on top of Fortress Maximus, and I have to say that really makes it not look good.
It looks like a Subscription Club figure head.
No, it looks like it's one of those big-headed figures that are popular in Japan. You know, the like a Funko toy or something like that.
Mighty Mugs?
Yeah, thank you.
He's got more of a neck. That's the only thing. I wish he didn't have that neck.
I think part of what this is trying to do is to bring the proportions more in line with, like, animation.
Yeah.
You know, it making the head bigger relative to the body so it doesn't look so, like, boxy.
It looks more like a human head now, which is kind of weird on a boxy Fort Max.
It really doesn't work.
In terms of proportion, that is more like what they're going for. I'm putting in the Skype chat the link to the tank mode, and I'll paste that into the Ustream chat, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a box.
Oh, he changes into Cybertron Metroplex.
Oh, no, Cybertron Metroplex looks a lot better than that.
It kind of does look like that.
He rolls. But I do like what I do. It looks like they're kind of copying Toy World a little bit, because that's what Hard Bones Treads do in robot mode. But
Don loves talking about Hard Bone.
Who doesn't?
I have to say that the vehicle mode. I'm sorry to say this figure for me is definitely turning into a pass for me.
And the $150, $175 most likely price tag wasn't doing that for you, Don?
Well, you know, I'm Headmaster Don. I like headmasters. But this does not it does not improve.
He's obligated to pay that money.
Well, no, I'm just saying it does not improve the G1 Fortress Maximus. The tank mold as of itself is not that impressive, and the robot mode looks good, but it's just, for me, it's not something that I need in my collection. I'm hoping some people like it, but it's not for me.
I like it. It'll depend on the price.
It's going to be a high one.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all
what you'd have to be to pay for it.
Look at all the stuff it's coming with. It's coming with this gun that's taller than the figure itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the tread backpack, which from these blurred out parts looks like it can form its own vehicle with some of the other parts, probably while the figure itself is being a new Cerebros for your Fort Max. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff here. It's a big toy, and it's not going to be cheap at all.
And it's also perfect effect, correct?
That's why it's not going to be cheap at all, yes. Yeah.
Perfect seven in one. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that makes it sound like a Chinese knockoff, though.
Yeah, because the only perfect effect figure I ever actively hunted down was the Rosanna, and even after not long after she was released, it was like $45 to $55 with shipping for a cassette, and I just wasn't going to pay that at that point.
Yeah, perfect effect doesn't really. They either don't know how to work with the factories to get, you know, the right pricing for this stuff, or they don't really have a concept of scale of pricing. You know, they're either doing short orders, making it cost a lot, or they really think that people should be wanting to pay, you know, $60 for two cassette design robots that don't really transform into anything. But either way,
which is a mistake that will bite them in the ass.
Well, it hasn't for the last 2 years. That's the part that confuses me. They still continue even with that price.
Eventually, that market's going to crash.
Well, we can.
How much more credit do they have?
Perfect Effect stuff seems to sell pretty decently. I don't really see it go on clearance anywhere, which is the surprising part.
Yeah, they're one of the few people that you don't see sales run on their stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one's fun to say. Daka Toys, Titan third party Skyfire. When prototypes look like bad CG renders.
Yeah,
it's well, bless their hearts for trying.
Well,
It's a prototype laying flat on its back.
Those fingers worry me.
Yeah. They look like they're taking lessons from Master Grade Gundams.
Which is definitely a mistake.
they don't look good as fingers.
No. No, I mean, seriously, when I was looking at the picture, I thought that it was a CG render, like, superimposed over a photo background, but then I couldn't figure out why anybody would superimpose a CG render over a photo of a messy table.
And a screw missing, or a screw loose, or...
Oh, I think there was definitely a screw loose somewhere along the way.
Well, when this first came up, both Diecast and I, if I'm not mistaken, we were both pretty... you know, hoping for this figure. You know, I don't think all hope has been lost yet, but yeah, I would like to see more color, more detailed photos of this. But having a G1 cartoon accurate Skyfire Jetfire is still on top high on my list of things I would like to have.
There's even another... one that's like 2 feet tall.
Yeah, there's yeah. another one.
I admit I agree with the idea too, but I don't need one that bad and not that big.
There's another perfectly scaled to interact one. With.
Metroplex, probably.
Because they're the same size? I'm not following the logic on this in any direction.
I guess it's the same reason we're getting, you know, 2.5 foot tall Overlord third-party toy. And if you can tell me what that reason is, I'd love to know.
I still don't know if that'll ever come out. They've been
I hope not.
About that for like a year and a half.
It would be frightening if it does come out.
What I last heard about that Nova Lord was that it had gone back into like the late design phase to accommodate some problems they found in the test shot phase. So, I mean, at least they are testing it and making sure stuff works and then going and making revisions based on their findings. But I still don't have a lot of confidence here.
Well, now, Diecast, is this not the same one you and I, the same company you and I looked at originally?
There's two floating around right now. There's this one, Daka, and there's another one. The other one looks a lot more G1 show accurate than this does. It also doesn't have the round shoulders, which is how I can tell them apart. This one is a little... I'm hoping the other one makes it, because this one's really not to my taste.
Remember the age of third party we're in. They can both make it.
Yeah. That's true.
And then five more besides.
I wouldn't mind seeing another group try Jetfire, though. Like, yeah. Maybe Fans Toys, the guys who did Quakewave.
Yes.
I want to see some third party do one that's like slavishly accurate to... the original Jetfire toy, and then watch Harmony Gold just stand there frustrated pulling at their hair because they can't reach them to sue them.
Well, I'll admit, like I did not realize there was two of those diecasts. I'm sorry about that. I thought this was the same company as that first one. I did not realize there were different companies.
Yeah, this one, the nose is really skinny and thin. I'm just not really into this one. And plus, if it's 2 foot tall, I mean, who really needs a 2 foot tall Jetfire?
But one thing about Paladin is what you said is, you know, having fans toys do it, because it was weird because both Skyfire and Shockwave appeared in the same commercial. So it'd be kind of weird if they did the same two toys as well.
Yeah, I mean, is this supposed to be like a masterpiece scale thing? Because I mean, it still seems a little bit big, but I guess that could kind of work, ish. Not really.
And I really don't think we can count on an official one. I doubt Jetfire is on the short list for Masterpiece.
Well, yeah. it would be Skyfire, and, you know, that'd probably be pushing it a little bit. Skyfire, the cartoon design's fairly distinct from a Valkyrie, but at the same time, you know, it's probably... do you remember through eHobby, Takara released the reissue Minibot mold in GoBot-inspired colors, and the original solicitation had GoBot names attached, but when they were released, they just used the original names because Takara was a little bit wary of running over those trademarks, even though it shouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
Because all Bandai owns is the likenesses of the original toys, but they still thought that might be grounds.
Yeah, that's the one eHobby said I'm kicking myself for not getting.
I kind of wish I could have got the bug bite out of the 2007 BotCon set. But, you know, that goes for like $800 now. And
Yeah.
It just seems like a bad time.
An entire set was usually expensive for a long time.
It still is, mostly.
I saw that and the cartoon-colored Astro Train sold to the same guy in one transaction for $650 at BotCon.
Yeah, that sounds... What year was that, Don?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, the memory's the first thing to go.
Well, you try going to 19 BotCons and see if you can keep them all straight. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was like $300 for the Astro Train, and the balance was the GoBots, and it was the guy just gave. I just like here, you know, have $700. I mean, really? I mean, it's just.
That must be a great feeling to be able to just whip out $700 on the spot like that.
Yeah, because at the time I had no idea that cartoon color Astro Train was even going for that much money, and the GoBots was already sold before I even got there.
Oh, well.
Aren't they re-releasing Astro Train at some point next year?
It's the white version.
Oh,
it's
crap.
It's the Japanese version, white and black.
Okay, so Don Diecast, you probably remember we talked about this, was that last week? Last week, yep. The Star Emperor Unicron head playset thingy.
I'm still on board with this. I think it looks good in color. I'm just wondering, how is it a playset?
Well, that's what I was going to say. The playset part seems to be more theoretical. It seems more like, you know, in a Unicron bust that you can take pieces off of.
Yes.
I still think it should have articulated eyes that can be swapped with Metroplex.
You know, it's definitely, I mean, even if the playset part is minimal, as an actual just Unicron bust, like you said, it is extremely impressive, and the colors work really, really well on that.
It's nice enough looking. You know, I think it would serve it better if it could open up like a classic style playset for accommodating Legends or World's Smallest Transformers inside. This has got to be a pretty substantial chunk of plastic, and I can't imagine it's going to sell cheap, and I'm just not sure how much interest they're going to have in, you know, a Unicron bust.
If his mouth could open up big enough to swallow Legends figures,
that would be amazing.
But then we would need a Galvatron.
Well, yeah.
One problem at a time.
I do want a new Galvatron.
I've always needed a Galvatron.
Yeah, why haven't the third parties made a nice new Galvatron figure for us?
Satisfied with the one we already got.
Why? Realize how sad it is that the best Galvatron toy we have came from Energon?
Why can't Hasbro do a real classics Galvatron? I mean,
I don't want Hasbro to do a new classics Galvatron because it will be 4 inches tall now.
Apparently the same reason they can't do a new classics Ironhide.
because there's too many red vans and tanks in the line. That's why classics Galvatron was downscaled.
They could have just changed his color instead.
I'm not even sure he wouldn't have been a piece of shit if they hadn't changed the scale.
It's kind of a mess. It's
really badly designed.
But the thing of it is, there were only two tanks at the time at that point.
I know.
And Deep Desert Brawl.
I think they were also counting Animated Shockwave.
And they might have been counting. What was it? Universe Onslaught 2 as a tank-like weapon.
Maybe. I mean, there between Universe and Animated, there were a couple other, you know, large, boxy, gray vehicles.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that. It might have turned out a little better at Voyager size just because there'd be more room for stuff to work.
Exactly. Because, see, I don't have any problem with the way the Galvatron figure looks. If Galvatron's not going to be a giant folding hand cannon or a ground cannon,
ham cannon?
I'm down for that idea.
Now that you mention it, there is some resemblance of Galvatron to ham.
But, you know, there was the hand mode that for the.
He was Leonard Nimoy, so that's definite ham.
Not as much as Shatner.
But, anyway, that's.
That's what we need for a modern interpretation of Galvatron. We need Shatner to be the voice. Can you just imagine how beautiful that would be?
No.
Would he sing?
I hope so.
And Adam West as Unicron.
Yes.
That's better than Shatner.
Okay, so last thing is, Diecast put this in, iGear Toys announces version 2 of their computer control center. For anyone who does not remember what the computer control center was, a few years ago, iGear made a playset based on the inside of Autobot headquarters from the cartoon, and it was basically a pile of crap.
But it goes for like $500 on eBay if you want to get it now.
Our price was about $130.
Yeah, but I mean, with Repro Labels made a sticker set for it, it actually made it a little bit better.
Well, the best review I ever read of the original Control Center playset was where somebody took, like, you know, actual hardware, screws and brackets and things, and just basically fused it all together permanently so that it would not be a falling apart piece of shit anymore.
Well, it's version 2. Maybe they're going to fix it.
How would they fix it?
On the other hand, it's iGear, and I'm not supremely confident.
And it'll be even more prohibitively expensive because they just released the pre-orders for their new 3-pack of just traditional Seekers, and that's as a set for $300.
Yeah, is iGear really starting to lose their mind? I mean...
Well, and did you see, it's not just the regular Seekers, they got a Conehead set up too, the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that yet.
And none of them are available individually.
Right.
Which really kind of sucks.
Yeah, because I mean,
I wouldn't have bought them anyway, but I would have liked to have the option.
It's Rolling Thunder Optimus again.
which is a shame, because I really wanted to like that toy, and it was just...
A piece of crap?
Yeah.
Don't be nice, Don. Just, you know, say what you mean.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I had some high hopes for that figure, and it just did not pan out. Their Power Master Prime apparently has turned out a little bit better, but I don't see anybody carrying that.
Yeah, I know. I saw pictures of a near final one, and then it's like it ceased to exist. So
it's out. It was released. It's just I can't find anybody carrying it right now.
Yeah, which is effectively like it doesn't exist. If you can't buy it, it might as well not.
Yeah, I was going to say version 2 probably just means that it's going to be a different shade of color. Skelface in the chat said
it. We can charge a different amount of money for this.
Yeah, Skelface in the chat says that means it's going to be green, and God, I hope not.
Why green?
Yeah, why green?
He was, you know, just the way iGear recolors.
You don't
stuff.
Understand the reasoning, it's something about the money.
I wonder if they are making the version 2 because a new version of the Bandai Mechanical Chain Bases has come out to knock off like they did the first time.
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, visually, that would have been a very good display piece. You know, so maybe they're hoping to get, you know, the people interested in that displaying their figures, the classics, whatever the case may be. So, and the price may surprise us. I mean, I don't know. It's just... It was awful prohibitive at that time. I just can't imagine it being any cheaper.
Oh, it's going to surprise you, all right.
No, but Don, you're right. When iGear was first showing the pictures of the original control room thing, before anybody knew what it was actually going to be like, I was really interested in it. You know, I've always liked playset stuff. And if it hadn't been $120 and hadn't proved to be a really bad thing... you know, I would have liked to have one. Basically, if everything about it was different, I would have loved it.
And if that's not a great recommendation for the back of the product, I don't know what is.
Box quotes, free of charge.
If this wasn't a pile of crap, I would have bought it.
Okay, so that'll do for the news this week. We've got several pre-recorded segments, a review of More Than Meets the Eye 21, and acknowledgement that Beast Hunters exists from me and Rob Clay. Q&A with Rob Springer, and a new Prime retro review from Amy and Nicole. So why don't we go ahead and jump into that, and we'll be back with a couple more quick topics. Warning: the following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. Okay, this week we've got More Than Meets the Eye 21, finally. And issue number 5 of Beast Hunters, starting a new storyline. So, well, maybe starting a story. It didn't seem like much happened.
Yeah, not a lot did. We tied into the last episode of Transformers Prime. The planet is being cyberformed, and of course, living underground, this means that the Dinobots and other refugees are kind of having a problem, and that's as far as we got.
Yeah, it was. I mean, nothing happened. All it really did was set up where people are, while another thing from a separate piece of fiction is happening.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully we will get a little bit more meat next month, but at the same time, I really wish they would stop dumping Beast Hunters the same week as More Than Meets the Eye. This is never going to be a good comparison to make. It's hard enough for Robots in Disguise, which at least was pushed back until next week, so we don't have to deal with recording it until then. And for a much newer, you know, comic that is not More Than Meets the Eye, it just is not a good comparison to have. And if I, you know, I like Beast Hunters fairly well, and if I could only afford one comic that week, it is going to be More Than Meets the Eye.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Beast Hunters is only getting 8 issues before it's ended.
I kind of think that has a lot to do with it. Yeah. I don't want to try and point fingers, but I think they might have been able to support it a little bit better than it has turned out to be supported.
Maybe so. Okay, so into More Than Meets the Eye.
Yes.
So, finally, the fifth and final part of Remain in Light, mm-hmm. which itself, of course, had origins in the Overlord's escape story, which was a couple issues before that even. So, basically, the storyline we're wrapping up now has gone back to, like, March.
Not counting all the other things from even farther back that it also wraps up.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the direct start of this chain of events.
Well, yeah.
Because, you know, Overlord's escape led to Ultra Magnus getting stabbed, which led to Luna 1, which led to all the rest of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, within that in itself is, like, 4 days or so in narrative time.
Yeah.
Basically continuously over, you know, seven and a half months.
Yeah.
But, you know, so most of a year we've been waiting for this conclusion to be reached, and it was definitely a conclusion.
It was. I think it might have been a little bit excessively hyped, to be honest, because it is not a bad conclusion, mm-hmm. and it's very well written, but it is not quite the earth-shattering thing that all the lead-up was kind of pointing towards.
Right. Surprisingly low death toll.
Mm-hmm. And especially on the antagonist side, I mean, I was starting to have Final Fantasy VII flashbacks. My biggest complaint about that game is the fact that you never kill any of the villains. They always get away, and everybody got away.
That's
or
what
was
game
taken away.
For.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Of course, then you can't advance the story, but it's still more satisfying.
Yes. It's hard to Game Shark a plot, though.
Sometimes I wish.
Yeah, really.
So, included in the low death count is not Ultra Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
Who pulled yet another fake out?
Yes. And, you know, I didn't expect it, but it's one of those things where I felt like I should have, that it makes perfect sense, so.
I really like the panel, though, where he's explaining how he's not dead.
Yes.
Mostly for the Rodimus reaction angle.
Mm-hmm.
That one was pretty good.
Yes. And I've been, ever since I read that, I've been thinking, you know, what I want now is a legend-sized Minimus Ambus and a nice new Voyager Ultra Magnus with a hollow chest.
It could work.
It could.
Or, you know, just do Ambus as a mini-con.
That could work, too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
make Ambus as the mini-con that fits into the legends, that fits into the Voyager Ultra Magnus.
I think you might be pushing it a little bit.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, you could totally repurpose an Energon Ultra Magnus now.
Good point. Somebody's got to do that repaint.
One of the most expensive repaints ever.
Well, you could start with Overload instead. There's no physical difference, just colors.
Be a lot more paint work.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. There is a... Okay, so we got another really creepy pharma shot.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just something about his face in that panel where he's sitting there going, I know, I'm incorrigible. Just something reminded me of Knockout. It was kind of a Knockout line, too.
And, yeah, I could kind of hear that in Knockout's voice now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hadn't really considered that before. And, of course, we had Cyclonus with a brief face-off against Starsaber. He did a little better than Diatlas.
Yes, he
but
did.
But that's because Cyclonus will fight dirty.
Yes.
If only he would have still had two horns on his head at the time.
Yeah. And I think of all the various, you know, villains that Team Rocketed the hell out of there, that was the one that bugged me the most.
How come?
I can't even quite explain why. Just took an instant dislike to this version of Star Saber as I was supposed to. But also, it's just like, yeah, he had him dead to rights and he gets away. The other two, you know, Pharma gets dragged off by whatever's on the other side of the portal, mm-hmm. and Tyrus wanders off in text later on. But, you know, he's the one who escaped in the middle of the fight, and it's just a pain.
Yeah,
again, it's that Final Fantasy VII flashback thing.
So Skids is the one who made it through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure what he actually saw on the other side.
Yeah.
IDW's kind of been throwing hints here and there at the existence of Quintessons. Mm. And I was kind of getting hints of that with the use of fives in that sequence.
Well, yeah, now that you mention it.
You know, Skids lands on one planetoid, I'm going to call it, because they look pretty small, and there's four other ones visible in the sky around it.
Mm-hmm.
The spark that speaks feelings at him has the previously unseen symbol surrounded by five sparks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, tentacles are a quintesson trait.
Yeah. And we have had one actual Quintesson before in Monstrosity, so...
That's right, I forgot about that. I tend to forget about Monstrosity pretty often.
This is probably good.
But yeah, I mean, this is going to be our setup for, to use James Roberts' terminology, Season 2 of More Than Meets the Eye after Dark Cybertron's finished with.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did we have... Well, this is something that I talked to you about right after we read the issue. The first bit with Cyclonus and Whirl,
mm-hmm.
right after the battle's over with.
Yeah. And I almost think that this issue, one of the big things about this issue is that there are just too many fake-outs.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know. And Star Saber is one of those, because, again, it looks like Cyclonus has him dead to rights and he teleports out. And every time... Nobody actually dies in this issue, do they?
I guess not.
Yeah, in the text story, the only casualty they mention of this is Ambulon, who died, you know, well, technically two issues ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's quite a mislead then, especially since... Well, actually, I guess it wasn't. We're just interpreting the teaser text wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the old friends we're saying goodbye to are Fortress Maximus and Red Alert, who are staying on the moon.
Right.
And that's it.
Yep. I actually ended up enjoying reading the text story more than the actual comic.
Yeah, there was a lot more information gotten across for one, I think.
Like, the words I wanted to use for it was, like, it's more narratively complete.
Yeah.
One thing I've been having a hard time, I think, getting across to people who've read the review at T-Formers and who I've talked to directly about it is this issue mainly feels like the last 15 minutes of a movie.
Yeah.
Which, that's okay. Remain in Light was supposed to be taken as if it was more than meets the eye, the motion picture. But when the issue is presented by itself a month after the last 15 minutes of the movie, you know, if you take it just by itself, it doesn't really stand up that strong because it is all climax and epilogue.
Yeah. And again, just my way of thinking, to a certain extent, anticlimax. I mean, I'm not unhappy with who survived,
right,
and how they survived and all that, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to be one of those comics fans who only measures the quality of things and the importance of the thing and how many people died, but wow, did they get off lightly after how badly everything had been going up to this point.
No, and you're right. I mean, measuring the quality of something by the death count isn't really a good metric. And I'm glad that none of the major characters died over the course of this.
Yeah.
I kind of liked Ambulon. I didn't like him getting killed off so easily, but, you know, all the major characters are still in place and can continue through the next storyline and hopefully the next after that. But there's just been, over the course of this, a lot of basically weight being implied into the storyline, and in the end, it doesn't feel like it's there.
Yeah, because, you know, what there will be long-term consequences from, we, you know, will not see probably until sometime after Dark Cybertron, sometime like 6 months from now.
Oh, I was thinking probably more like this time next year.
That's entirely possible, too. But, you know, we won't know where Tyrus has gone and what he is up to. We won't know who even knows when we'll, you know, when we'll find out about where Pharma was taken by who and what they want. You know, probably the Quintessons, but we have no idea yet. And, you know, they do long buildups to James Roberts does long buildups to things, considering Skids first showed up in what, issue 2? Yeah, so, you know, we answered some questions, we left a lot more, we started some new ones, and with the way this series is set up, who even knows when we're going to find out about the rest of this?
Pretty much. And I still don't think everything's been told with Skids either.
No, probably not.
And of course, the text story, to me, strongly implies that Swerve did off-panel open the briefcase to see what was inside.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be some ramification to that in the future, too.
Yeah. I'm, of course, no hint whatsoever as to what it actually is, but
did you ever watch Home Improvement when it was on?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Brainstorm's briefcase is basically Wilson's face.
Yes.
And, you know, the final episode of Home Improvement, they shot two versions of, so that they could basically take it to the executives and let them decide how it was going to go, how it was going to be broadcast. One version you saw his face, the other version you didn't. And the decision was that if we show his face now, it's just, what is there left?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the reality of Brainstorm's briefcase, if it ever is actually revealed what's in there, is never going to be as good as what anybody would build up in their head. So it's probably better to just leave that unsaid.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing that Brainstorm seems to have taken away from this is the spark of a 0.1%er.
Very possibly, yes.
Well, it's green and it's sparky looking, so.
Hmm. Yeah, so Brainstorm being Brainstorm, there's no telling what he's going to do with that. Maybe he will put it in his briefcase.
Yes.
He seemed quite taken with that idea when it was suggested a couple issues ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, before like really getting into this issue, I did go back and read... Well, I read all of Remain in Light, but I also read a few issues before that just to, you know, get to the very start of the storyline. And, you know, going from the very start to this finish point, it comes across strong. You know, I don't accuse James Roberts of writing for the trade at any point in this. It's just this issue is the one of any of them that's going to be most strong in the collected format.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if that's the worst complaint to lodge against a single issue of a comic, that it's not going to read quite as well as when it's bound with five or six others, it doesn't seem like a bad day.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim!
Hey guys, it's Rob, and this week's question comes from James. James asks, with the thrilling 30 in play, what gimmick subgroup would you like to see updated, such as Pretenders, Power Masters, etc.? They've already done Target Masters, aren't doing another in Scoop. It would be cool to see new takes on classic gimmicks with new technology. Well, James, thanks for your question. And you know what? You're right. It would be cool to see some of those gimmicks adapted with the new toy technology. Personally, I'd really like to see. I'd really like to see Pretenders, specifically the Mega ones, where the shell transformed into stuff as well. That way, with new toy technology, they could maybe make the shell a little bit more of an extension of the Transformer versus just a plastic piece that the robot came out of. Meaning that, say, okay, here's my Mega shell. Take them out. And the Mega Shell turns into the vehicle, and the little robot dude could ride on, or something like a battle weapon or something. Honestly, thinking about it, that kind of sounds more like an exosuit from Action Master. So maybe I'm thinking more about those exosuits from Action Masters than Pretenders. Though, being a fan of Pretenders, it's great to see those shells updated with maybe more articulated toys. That would be neat as well. Actually, yeah, thinking about it, I always say Micromasters, but we got Minicons, and that's pretty darn close. Thinking about it, Action Master style accessories, but for regular Transformers, being that, you know, they got a little vehicle or something to ride in that turns into some sort of battle platform for them. Of course, I'm thinking of these in terms as children's toys. Heaven forbid, watch out now. Guys, let's not think about the children at all. But yeah, something like those mech suits from Action Masters. They were more predominant in the UK stuff, but that's still a solid toy idea. I mean, just think about that for a second. You got, let me reach the closest toy that I think would work with it. Say these Legends, or Commander, or the new generation's Legends, what scale are these things, figures? Metroplex is already sort of a playset for these dudes, which is perfectly cool to me. Imagine, say, okay, there's a little vehicle thing you could put Optimus here in, and it's just some sort of vehicle-y thing, and then you could turn into, like, a battle armor for him. Now, people might be saying, Rob, what's the point of that? The point of that is, one, to give the kids something cool to play with, and the fans something kind of neat to stick on a shelf. Because, let's face it, we're going to buy it anyway. But people, my nose is itching. Sorry. People really like say City Commander or the Battle Tanker or something like that. And kind of playing off that idea with armor anyone could use. Say, you know, they could come with a toy like this and be a battle tanker type armor for Optimus. It could be a trailer, or and that could turn into like maybe a ship or something and then turn into a larger Optimus. Or they could be some more generic ones, like, you know, there's going to be a Bumblebee one. It could turn into like some cool, like, you know, that, hauler, I'm playing with Optimus now. You know that hauler thing from Aliens that Ripley got into to fight the Queen Alien? You know, it could be like something like that, and it turns into some sort of like giant forklift or something, and it comes with a construction dude. You know, something like that. That's damn, that's a, I really like this idea. Thank you, James, for asking me. I'm going to think about this probably for the rest of the night, different little ways. I can imagine maybe, ooh, like a Decepticon. And he's got sort of a, like he's Croc. Okay, Croc doesn't turn anything. But if he did, he'd probably turn into like a spaceship or something. So it'd be sort of a jet-like dude or whatever, that's Croc. And his vehicle is like a boat. Oh, no, it's like an alligator. It's like an alligator. It looks like something out of Zoids. And Croc gets it. Well, it's a croc, I guess. It's a Zoids crocodile. The car and Tony are one thing. Hasbro already was doing Zoids in America. It could work. And it could be like, you know those alligator boat things they have for Chima? Something like that. And Croc could ride in it. And he's like, I'm Croc of the Seas. That's what you should say. I'm Croc of the Seas. And then he rides his little croc boat up, and he's like, hey, I'm a swamp person. And then he gets out, and he's all shooting guns. Yeehaw, I'm a swamp person. Shoot him. And the croc boat turns into, like, croc armor for him. So now he's, like, super croc with rail guns and chain things and that weird piece that's always on these big combiner things. It's just there, and they tell you it's a gun, but really it just looks like a piece that they said it's a gun. Something like that, man. That, good. I'm going to think about this all day. Thank you, James, for his question. In fact, this scale figure, I don't know why people keep calling them legends. Hasbro calls them legends, too. They're commanders. They're commanders that come with mini-cons. But they're being called legends. I don't know why. I'm getting the feeling legend is no longer a site. It's like, you know, in Cyberverse they started calling legends legions, and we stopped seeing the legends term. Well, now they apply legends to pretty much anything under a certain price in generation. So maybe legends means price point now. But these little dudes would be perfect for a Pretender update, because it's small. And with modern toy technology, it could be. There's no question who this is, and it's a perfectly acceptable Optimus, despite what YouTube might say. But something like this size could go into a Pretender shell. It could be a really cool Pretender shell. And once again, maybe if it was like a Mega Pretender, it could transform too. So I'd be like, hey, who's that funny-looking guy in Sentai-looking armor that just turned into a... They say it's a jet. And it's inside a shell. And that shell is most definitely kind of a car. And he got out and he could turn into a jet-like thing. And a little robot dude's in, he's a Transformer. And he's wearing two outfits. And now he turns into something that looks like doing the splits. But it's 2013, so he'll turn into a truck instead of something that looks like the splits with wings pushed onto the side. And he can ride in his cool clamshell car, and his thing that's supposed to be a jet can attach to the tip, and now it's mega super. I wish my phone would quit making weird noises. And it's now a super mega thing with dude riding on it. But with modern toy technology, it's like a cool truck with a cow catcher. The idea could use some more fleshing out and work. But yeah. With modern tour tour. I was about to say modern tour. What's a tour? Isn't that like a caveman? Modern toy technology, with like the Pretenders and those exosuit type things from Action Masters. Maybe the Puzzler type. It could also be rationed as the Puzzler thing from, not Puzzler, I'm sorry. The exosuits from Obots, where they all combine into a combiner. That kind of thing. Basically, exosuits, teetotal under that umbrella. Each several robot lines have had them. And Pretenders could really benefit from modern toy technology, I think. Headmasters could too, but let's face it, a headmaster is a pretty hard sell to a child these days. It's, once it's gone, you've got a headless robot. Powermasters, they kind of did do an update of Powermasters and Powercore Combiners, how the little minicon can make armor plates. And it just kind of, that's one of those things where it was cool fictionally, but I don't think it really did much for a toy other than, hey, it comes with a little guy, it sticks on the other guy. You know, it was neat story-wise, to me at least, but aside from that, I don't think it really went too far. Maybe Dualcons. Those would be kind of neat with new toy technology. Especially if it'd be like Energon, where the little-sized dude can make his own guy and then combine with the other one, however. So yeah, basically Energon, but modern. It really hurts me to say modern toy technology versus Energon. But that kind of anything can combine aspect would probably work pretty well too. Or hell, just two little vehicles that make up one bigger dude with the stuff they do now. It could be a really impressive dude while like Flywheels. I'm not saying Flywheels was pretty limited, but he was probably on par for a toy of that era. So anyway. Well, hey, thanks. I cannot stop playing with. Go buy these guys. I love these. Go buy them. Let's keep them things coming out. Thanks for your question, James. And if any of you, I'm putting this down. If any of you else have a question, please send it rob@tfradio.net. You can send it through our Facebook. There's a million ways to contact us. You can see it on our site, tfradio.net. There's a million ways to get us. Check out my blog, roborobspringer.tumblr.com. And there's an ask button there. Assuming I don't brain fart and answer you a million different times because I can't figure out how the button thing works, I'll answer you on the show. So, thanks, guys. And let's see what... You know, it occurred to me the other day, The Adventures of Don and Massey would make for an amazing sitcom. Let's go back there now and see what they're doing. I have a head cold, so my jokey segue is not working out so well. I just farted, and my nose is stuffy, so I'm kind of thankful for once of my head cold. Sitting in my own filth here. I can't smell it, but it's warm. At RFC, we are classy. And let's send it back to that classy folks. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And now, another RTM1 dub moment. Hey, on!
Hey, on! All right, listen up. I'm the ninja consultant for the Decepticons. My name is Sixshot.
Oh, yeah?
Now you know who I am. Look out!
Sneaky. I'll get you.
This is my way of doing things. I never waste my time talking.
Is that right? I'm Ultra Magnus, the Autobot's local commander here. Now I want you to see this. Huh? How come you missed me? This has been my way of doing.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Welcome back to your female reviewing duo. I am Amy.
Oh, and I am your drug-induced crippled Nick.
Welcome back. This is an intervention.
It took me a while. I'm like, I'm just like, oh, we're doing this.
We're just going straight into it. Sorry, I didn't give you much warning, did I? And today for review on the Prime Retro Review is episode 12 of season 1 called Crisscross. It was written by Joseph Kerr, and it originally aired June 25th of 2011. So last week, Mech opened up Breakdown. And this week, they are hot on the trail of Arachnid. But she's not so easily captured. She likes hunting things, and as soon as they find her lair, they find themselves hugely undergunned and in her clutches. Oof, and they find out that she lured them there, and they fell for it. Because she's got plans, yo. So Silas strikes a deal with the devil because, Arachnid is motivated to give RC some payback. Mm. And hey, they'd like to keep their skins, so they make this deal with the devil. So Mech and Arachnid, not a good combination.
That sounds scary right there.
That's like, oh man. But here's the thing, is that who's going to manipulate who? So the first thing I was thought, oh, either she's going to manipulate them, or they're going to manipulate her back, or man, this could get really interesting really quick. So at that point, we flip to the object of Arachnid's obsession, Jack and RC. So Jack and RC are trying to sneak as quietly as possible back home. And they're trying to do it so that June, Jack's mom, won't know that he's arriving after curfew. But June is on to his game, and she's waiting for him in the garage where Jack usually leaves RC every evening when he comes home to sleep. And June confronts him about the racing that she's been hearing rumors about at the hospital where she works, and the fact that he's like falling asleep in class, and she's concerned that he's gotten in with a bad crowd. And so she grounds him. Oh, no! And it's only work and school that he's allowed to go to now, only no other extracurricular activities. And I was just thinking at this point, because, you know, this is all going on while RC is just sitting there in, you know, motorcycle mode. And I just thought, oh, you know, I bet she's just laughing and having the nice little eye roll. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to ground Jack, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. But yes. And the conversation after this is just hilarious, because it's like, she's like, I'm not going to sit here on my tires for 2 weeks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, like that. I'm not going to go flat for 2 weeks. That would be kind of boring. Trust me. I've been held up for more than 2 weeks.
How do you explain that to Prime or the rest of the team, where it's like, I'm grounded? What the heck is grounded?
That's true.
And Jack is like, well, you saw Mom's serious face, right? I'm going to get into trouble.
It was the serious face.
It was the serious face. She's like, I've seen worse. You know, try, you know, staring Megatron down, right?
Yeah, this is true too.
Oh, goodness. So the compromise at this little juncture is that since June works late, RC will try to be back in the garage before she gets home to make it appear that he's being a good teenager. But she's not going to make any promises, right? You can see where this is going to cause trouble, right? So the next day, June calls Jack as he's leaving from work to say that she's coming home on break early to cook him dinner. And
I'm glad you continued on. You're like, to cook him.
Yeah, to cook him. Yeah, cook him dinner. And after the call, he scrambles to call RC, who's right in the middle of a firefight. Oh, guess what? You got to get home right away. Pew, pew. It's like, are you serious? I just laughed at this whole thing because it was just funny. It's the hilariousness of them covering up their obvious deception with June. And, oh, sorry, Bumblebee. I was shot in the line of duty because Jack was grounded. It's just...
Oh, you're bringing up some good points here. Yeah. You are bringing up some good points
Okay, get this. Ratchet is giving a ground bridge to RC to get her back to the garage in time. I was like, how do you justify that to Prime, who's saying, what's going on?
Prime hasn't been in the best of moods these years, you know, lately.
So. True. He could be like, yeah, you know, oh, gosh. It's the whole situation is just hilarious. And I know that some people could look at it and like, oh, it's bad, but I found it incredibly hilarious that this was going on. It's like we're right in the middle of saving the world and your social standing with your parents. Boy, yeah. Exactly. All in a day's work. There you go. Oh, man. Oh, who knew? Okay, so ultimately, June returns home before Jack does, and she's not happy because the motorcycle is gone. Because when she looks, oh, guess what? It's not there. Because that's there. Before RC is able to ground bridge in. But he rides up on a bike because, like, he's pedaling and she's miffed, going, where is it? Would you have one of your friends, like, you know, park it in there or park it around the corner? And now you're acting like you're, you know, riding your bike. What the heck? And there's this, he sees a flash of the ground bridge behind her. So he opens the garage door to perfectly show that, you know, hey, motorcycle is waiting in the garage, and she doesn't believe it. She can smell the lies because she's got her mom radar. mom radar alerts of there's a lie in progress. That's how it goes, right? And this, of course, Jack is just like, she's not going to buy it. So he spills the beans. Brace yourself, Mom. My motorcycle is a sentient robotic organism from a distant planet, part of a team stationed here on Earth fighting a secret war, and I spend most of my time after school hanging out with her crew. Oh, and she transforms. It's okay, RC. Show yourself. And this is when his wing woman... leaves him out to dry, which leads June to think that the bad crowd he's hanging out with is the science fiction club. That's a science fiction club I want to be a part of.
So you're hanging out with science fiction club? I like that. But those, okay, Marky Post, who plays June, delivered that line awesomely.
Yes, she did a great, great job with that. Mm-hmm. So... you know, June's break is over at this point and she has to head back to work. And Jack sulks about how RC wasn't there to back him up. And she's mm-hmm. like, don't blame me. And he's like, I know, you don't exist. This line keeps on coming up over and over again because it's like, it was like the little joke that happened in the first, like, you know, five episodes or whatever when she's like, we don't exist. You know, don't try to find us. We don't hear. I'll deny any of the, anyhow. Yeah. It's just funny. I just want to know
how she felt when Jack actually kicked her tire. Like,
oh, yeah.
I get that. You're going to hear from me, buddy.
Yeah. I'd be like, what the heck? What are you abusing me now?
I really felt sorry for RC. Like, oh man.
It's like, do not go to the whole violence thing and start abusing the object of what gets you around, because she
you know she's the object of Jack's
obsession.
Well, yeah, obsession too. You know, and so
yeah, I didn't say that by accident.
Jack has one woman on his mind and she's all made of steel.
Saves his life a lot.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. The funny thing about this is I don't know what he expected, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they have to keep their cover. At the same time, it just seems like letting June in on the whole robots fighting a war on planet Earth would have been something that they should, like, cure into. But on the flip side of that... You know, if they did, then there would be the whole my son's, you know, is not going to be in a dangerous situation. That's dangerous. I don't want him involved in that. So it's kind of like you're kind of like stuck between a rock and a hard place. How do you cue mom in without having, you know, mom alert going, no, no, you're grounded because you're fighting a dangerous war. No, you're a son. I want you to finish high school first. Oh, goodness. So... But I do like their solution, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get to the end. So
we'll get into that here.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Silas and Arachnid are tracking down Jack on the World Wide Web. Oh, the irony. they find Jack on a social networking site that could just as easily have been Facebook or MySpace.
Yeah.
Darn those details that are on those social medias.
That people just like to... throw out there, you know.
too much information is they because they even find out that, you know, his mom's name is June and works at the hospital. So is it a wonder they go for mom first? So as June gets off work that night, Mick nabs her in the parking lot.
Oh, da, da.
Yep. Now it's totally on like Donkey Kong. You mess with the mom, you're in trouble now. Jack gets home, but from I wasn't quite sure where I thought he's grounded. Where is he going? He's not supposed to be at work because he's one of
those teenagers that just doesn't listen.
I guess.
Wait, that's the majority of teenagers. I take that back.
Very true. Very true. Well, mom appears to not be home yet, and RC just bridged in, and there was a package waiting for him, kind of conveniently. So Jack opens it, and guess what's inside?
I don't know.
It's a phone communicator or something from Mech, and RC instantly recognizes the voice that comes pouring out of it, like, immediately upon opening it up. And she transforms, and Jack's like, they know where I live! Oh, and we know lots of things about you, and some things you might not know. Like, do you know where your mother is? I was like, can you be a little bit more obvious there? Oh. You have my mom? And they'd like to reunite them. But to do so first, they have to follow the GPS coordinates on this communicator. And while Silas is explaining these details, RC tries to contact Ratchet and then doubles over in pain as Mech has found a way to jam their communications and cause one heck of a headache when they attempt an unauthorized communication. So, whoops, that's something new they didn't do before. If they kind of knew how to do that before, you know, they could have, like, used that in other things. So Jack and RC are off to find June, and Jack's fretting over his mom because, hey, you know, my mom's in trouble. And, you know,
well, do that one more time.
What? My mom's in trouble. My mom's in trouble. What do I do? Yeah. Which RC assures him that Mech are only after her, and, you know, hey, they'll let your mom go as soon as they have me. But this isn't comforting because, like, RC is part of his family, too, and he doesn't want her to get hurt either. So Jack is stuck between a rock and a hard place. So when they arrive, they find that there's more than just Mech to deal with. There's Arachnid, too, and she quickly subdues RC. It's like,
Arachnid's one of those people you just...
She's twisted.
Yeah, you just don't want to mess with her.
She's twisted. She's just... Oh, my gosh. She's just like, oh... Masochist or sadist. She's both. So as you know, RC just starts pleading with Silas to keep Arachnid away from Jack and June because she knows that Arachnid is going to be after Jack as well after the whole last, you know, episode with Jack blowing up her ship and, you know, getting the best of her. Arachnid's going to want to pay back for that, and she knows this. So she finds out that Mech simply just don't care. Yeah. I was like, what do you expect? They're the bad guys, right? It's cold, hard slag, but that's how it goes, man. And they zap RC into unconsciousness. So Arachnid explains at that point that she's ready to play her twisted game of rescue your mother in 12 minutes and I'll let you go. And I'll take your family apart.
Because Arachnid likes a game.
Yeah, she's a game player. She's that whole hunting. I like to do hunting, you know, play my sport, please.
It's all about me. Me, yep. me. Arachnid, arachnid, arachnid. I can't say that. Arachnid,
arachnid. That's a little bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
And again, when Jack, he appeals to Silas a second time, and they're just like, we just don't care, sorry, you know, whatever. And Jack is forced to play the sick game that Arachnid has started. So he runs off to find Mom, and, you know, Arachnid is not too far behind because she likes watching. Meanwhile, Silas realizes that the nature of Arachnid suggests that she'll very likely turn their crisscross into a double cross. I had to put that line in here because it was just so perfect.
I loved that. I see what you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so whatever they want, they better cut and run. So they, you know, don't have a lot of resources with them to just up and take off with RC because she's sort of big and heavy. So he says, open her up. Every single time he says that, just those lines that you have to repeat, right? Yeah. So the suspense, it's juicy conflict. Oh my gosh.
It's creepy.
Very creepy. So how do you like the episode so far, Nicole?
It's right up my alley. It's full of creepy, suspenseful, and someone's going to get hurt. I don't know who at this point, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Absolutely, because they've set everything up just so perfectly. You know, you get Jack is like right in the middle of this whole, what do I do? He can't do anything but just do what he's told to do. But, you know, there's this other conflict between, you know, Silas or the mech and Arachnid, because they get her just as much as she gets them. They're mm-hmm. only going to use each other for so far. So just the conflict is just so awesome in this. It's great. So Jack does find his mom hanging from a lofty location as the time ticks down. So Arachnid is ready to do her personal worst. Meanwhile, Mech is cutting away Arachnid's web so they can cut into RC, all while Silas has two eyes on Arachnid via a video cam that just happens to be pointed right where June is hanging around. RC, who's supposed to be out unconscious, isn't. She's listening in on the horror show that's going on. And so when they cut away the web, she jumps into action and escapes to help June and Jack. She engages Arachnid while Jack tries to get his mom free. And I have to say that they come up with a really great fight scene in the air, because it was really, 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 really choreographed at this point. Because every single time that you turn around, you're thinking, oh, they're just going to do the same thing again. And then they do something different. And so every single time they've done a fight scene in Prime, it's like, it's just like they do something new to make it fresh.
I gotta admit, this location is probably one of my favorite fight scenes.
Oh yeah,
because it's really good. Of the graphics and with that big moon in the mm-hmm. background, and yeah, it's
I mean,
gorgeous.
It is dark, but at the same time, they're in a different location and they're higher up. So you're like, mm-hmm. you know, there's that element of, if I kick you, you're not just going to hit a tree or get rolled around on the ground. It's like, if I kick you, I could knock you off this. So mm-hmm. you don't want to see her fall down. And she's like, just really, just perfectly staying on some of the rafters. And it was really cool. I really liked how they did that. So
I liked it too. It was very well done.
Yeah. But it's Jack who gets the smackdown on Arachnid as he interferes at just the right moment from a signal from RC. Arachnid is covered with cement, which momentarily appears to stop her. But it's just the time needed for Agent Fowler to show up and engage. And at this point, I was like, what? How did that happen? So remember when Jack appealed to Silas? Yeah, about that. He is a sneaky teenager because he nicked a communicator and used it to call Fowler when Mech were distracted with taking RC apart. Teenager trumps evil bad guy for the win.
Jack, the thing is, Jack's not a typical. He's a thinker. This kid is. Yeah.
That was a really smart thing to do in like a little bit of time. And so it makes me wonder, I was like, was he talking with RC? No, he couldn't have been talking with RC on the way because the communicator was like on and they could like hear their mm-hmm. conversation. So, I don't know, but he makes some really split second decisions that does a really good job there, Jack. So the downside is that Arachnid scans Fowler's helicopters and takes that form and escapes. And Mech sees this and gets a little nugget of something out of this whole situation before they make tracks and disappear as well. And June, she's saved! Yay! And how,
I like June. I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't know about that whole acid bite thing from Arachnid, how that would have fared.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I want my kids to see that. Fowler tries to give Jack a cover story, but Jack says, no more lies. I got this. He finally introduces her officially to RC, and Jack takes her on that ride to meet the Autobots. Mom, meet my science fiction club. Woohoo!
That's what I love.
I want to be a part of that science fiction club, please!
That would be... Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And that is the end of the episode. It's pretty awesome.
It's a good episode, people. If you want to see some two women, you know, fight it out, here you go.
Girl fight! Well, there are two things that I wanted to kind of nitpick at this point. This is the two things. One,
let's nitpick.
One, the package arriving. I really don't think that RC picked that up. And I don't know why she would have like said, oh, guess what? There's also a package there for you.
Oh, yeah.
It just seemed a little too convenient. And I don't know if at this point that she's like really knows the ins and outs of, hey, while I'm out, I'm also going to go to the grocery store and pick up some milk and eggs, you know? It's just... I just thought, okay, maybe that was pushing it just a little bit. I thought, oh, well, I guess it's okay, you know. I'll let it slide a little bit, but it just seemed a little too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part two was the concrete. It does not solidify that fast like that. But
yeah.
The fact that it only delayed her just like for a moment, I thought, oh, let it slide.
Now that you're talking about nitpick, there's one thing that I'd like to nitpick about.
Mm.
And that was when RC was, you know, after they tased her and she was down for the count. Mech did not chain her up. Out of all people, I think they would tie her down at some point.
They might have done more than just like...
Yeah, they just lay her on a slab and say, hey, here we go.
Now we're going to cut this web off her and hope that she doesn't wake back up, right?
Yeah, so that's the one thing I had a problem with. I'm like, they'd be smarter than that.
Yeah, I kind of let that one slide too because they were in a hurry because they realized at that point that, you know, hey... Arachnid's going to double cross us. She totally will because
and RC killed a guy.
She did.
Yeah.
She totally did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was some flaws with it, but I mean, that fight scene between the two of them was just gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful. They did a really good job with that, and that was my next point that I was going to say. The conflict. They did great. The conflict was awesome in this episode. They stacked it just right. But like I said about the fight choreography, I'm almost willing to like give it a whole lot of forgiveness in that, just because the choreography of the fight was just so incredible great that I was like, well, you know, there's this, but this was really awesome. So I was like, it kind of balances out, right? They cancel each other out, and it's a good episode. So, but yeah, again, like we said, they continue to make that pretty interesting. And the series, I think that's one of the best parts of the series is the fight scenes are really well choreographed. Continually, they just do different things to just kind of make it different.
Oh so, yeah, it was beautiful. Very well done.
Yep. Well, that is the episode, and that's us and the review. How can the good fandom find you, Nicole?
Well, I'm still in the shadows until I get some stuff.
She's hiding out, man.
I'm in the shadows. I'm lurking. But I do. I am the one that does the Moonbase 2 Twitter, so you can tweet me on there. Or, you know, basically, I don't know where you can find me. Just I'm a full metal hero.
Keep her on your radar, and just as soon as she's out from the shadows, you can go find her again. Yeah. It's a great marketing ploy. It's a great marketing ploy.
You'll hear from me soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
You can find her here on RFC.
And find me here on Radio Free Cybertron doing these reviews. And
secret reviews. She's our secret podcast.
And hopefully Fanboy Versus will be coming back up shortly, and I can actually review.
Cool.
Because hopefully I'll be getting comics again. So I miss reading comics. I miss it.
Oh, I'll have to get you some comics then. And I can be found on Twitter as Lady of Wreck. And you can also buy my fantastic Transformer-inspired shirts on Etsy at Wrecked Apparel. So.
Ah, that's so cool. Go get one. I have one. Why don't you? Exactly, people.
Yes, please order, buy more of them so I can order more and I can give more shirts and all that.
Christmas is coming.
It is. Yeah.
Birthdays. I'm pretty sure there's some birthdays coming around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Treat yourself or treat a friend.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Not next year, but next week on RFC. Thanks for tuning in.
Aloha.
Hello. All right. And we are back. So the figure subscription service 1.0 breakdown has shipped out this week. Anybody here got theirs? I know Kilby got his.
I got mine.
And parts of others.
My rub sign was all messed up.
I was going to say, the important question is, what damage was there from shipping this time?
Yep.
I had none. No damage whatsoever. I had two sets of tech specs and instruction manuals, so.
I'm telling you, don't tell them that. They're going to charge your credit card. Either that, or they'll give it to someone to charge something else on your credit card because you got two tech specs.
Oh, it's not like they wouldn't do that anyway.
ICAST, what do you think of Breakdown overall?
I honestly didn't transform him. I took him out, and I saw that there was damage on him, and I got disgusted and put him back in the box.
Oh, okay, Kilby, it's up to you to save this.
Yep.
No damage. It's okay.
But did you transform it?
I transformed it. I haven't had an issue. This was the one that I wanted the least, believe it or not, of all the toys, because, I mean, it's Breakdown. I've got the superior version, you know, from BotCon 2010. And, honestly, this is one of the toys where the tech spec really makes it for me, because he's from the frickin' Blackthorn universe. How awesome is that? I think Jim Sorensen
wrote the bio for it.
When we talk to Jim next week, I'm going to have to mention that to him. Thumbs up on that. It makes me want to get back and read it. Yesterday, I was running a bad fever, and I was like laying
in
bed.
That time, read the Blackthorn comic.
I went to look for them, and I couldn't find them. I really regret it, because that would have just been the trippiest thing ever.
Especially if you have the 3D glasses still.
Yeah, well, I've got anaglyph glasses anyway that I can use. Yeah. So
black and white fever dream.
Yeah, I'll be traveling back in time reading them.
Well, what's weird is I actually bought those on the shelf when they came out.
Oh, Jesus. I bought them on eBay like 10 years ago.
Would you have to do that every week? Make old jokes at you? Do you have to make your own old jokes, Don?
Well, I'm hoping to take some of the wind out of your sails. But,
I've got an unlimited supply of wind in my sail, Don.
And I remember buying them, and actually it was really weird and kind of fun, and all I remember from the Blackthorn issue basically is Ultra Magnus and Cyclonus see each other in the same ravine, and the whole page is one giant splash page saying, Deceptobots. And I'm thinking, why couldn't they use that for anything? But that's just. But it's just cool how they're looking at all the corners of the mythos for this, for the bios and stuff.
Totally. I mean, this is probably the most boring figure they could have done.
Yeah.
And they really made it for me with the tech spec. It's still not my favorite figure from the line. Actually, the ones we've received so far, maybe it is. No. I like Slipstream. She's my favorite. But tech spec wise, it's amazing. So it went from being like number six to probably being number three for me.
So all that's left now is Jackpot and Ultra Mammoth.
Yeah.
So Mammoth is last.
Yeah. Who wants to bet? Next month is Jackpot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they probably haven't sourced the boxes yet for Ultra Mammoth.
Well, here's the thing, because they said shipping's going to be more for Ultra Mammoth. They need you to pay for 2.0 so they can ship out Ultra Mammoth. So everyone that's going to buy 2.0 will help ship Ultra Mammoth to us.
Speaking of which, when do we actually pay for 2.0?
When they announce a price.
Okay, good.
That has not happened yet.
Right before Ultra Mammoth ships.
I mean, I know that they've already billed and everything for G.I. Joe 2.0. Which I didn't get that either.
3 weeks later, there's a suspicious charge in your bank account.
But I'm really looking
forward to this. It's not even suspicious anymore. It's just expected.
I really wish I'd have got the G.I. Joe subscription service figures. But, you know, live and learn.
G.I. Joe, who cares?
It's probably less frustrating than these Transformers subscription service figures.
Think about it, though. When they basically had to fund the G.I. Joe Club from the Transformers side of the business...
I mean, G.I. Joe needs to die. I totally get that.
G.I. Joe anymore.
I mean, I totally get that it needs to die. It's not its fault. It's our fault for not loving it like we need to love it. But
no, it's G.I. Joe's fault for not, like, reinventing itself adequately.
25th anniversary, man. It completely reinvented itself. No. It's a reboot.
Oh, sorry. No, I say we never got, like, a G.I. Joe Generation 2.
Yeah, we did. It's basically yeah, this. It's
G.I. Joe Extreme.
I would say G.I. Joe Generation 2 is the era of G.I. Joe that was art was done by Andrew Weldman in the comic when everything was neon and crazy looking like G2. They went off on a the comic went off like in a completely different direction. You had like the Eco Force, or Eco Warriors, whatever Eco Force, drug elimination force, all that crazy stuff. That's totally G2 for G.I. Joe.
Okay, I didn't realize that was considered.
Well, it's not. That's just my. If Transformers G2 is sort of trippy and crazy and out there, that whole same similar period for, G.I. Joe, is the equivalent of G2 for me.
So that means G.I. Joe Extreme is like G1 for Robots in Disguise.
Oh, God, let's not go there.
It would be weird to watch G.I. Joe episodes with a Cybernet Space Cube.
Oh, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe what G.I. Joe needs is for Maddie to come in and save it with a subscription service.
God, no.
Yeah, but then you would pay like $30 to ship a little figure like this.
Aren't we already doing that with the digital river? But, I mean... This is G.I. Joe subscription service. It's basically $30 for figure, right?
Yes.
Something like that. I mean, you get Big Boa out of it. Well, you did for the first one, and like Cesspool for the second one, but... Man, I'd be spending $300 for like one figure per series. That's really stupid.
Yeah.
I retract everything I said.
Well, I gotta say this. Hey, Mickey, XV says he is dicks, but you are one for suggesting people go through Digital River. That's just low.
What's Digital River?
Digital River is the handler for all the Manny Collector stuff.
Oh. I don't bother to learn that much about them.
Yeah, Digital River is the actual merchant that handles the transactions.
Yeah, Digital River does things. They do stuff for Microsoft, lots of other companies. I've even had issues with Digital River for digital downloads. Something that you just download it. They screwed up an order once for me. For a copy of Microsoft Office. It was crazy. I was so pissed off.
I guess you call them the dream wave of storefront shopping.
They don't pay the people that work for them?
They might. Well, we don't know that much about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, more like it's a pain in the butt to deal with them, and you wish they were gone, but that's all you've got to deal with.
You could just not deal with them. That seems simpler.
That's what I do.
I did that. Yeah. I haven't bought a thing from the Manny Collector in 2 years.
The club since they started their, since they went with their heads up their ass.
Yep. One thing I wanted to bring up on the show this week, I just got one of these. I got a really good deal on a loose Takara Fall of Cybertron Skywarp.
Oh.
And I have to say, I am very baffled by this toy. Now, I got the Hasbro Starscream and Thundercracker, which I'm not going to reach over here and grab, much to Don's disappointment, I'm sure. There's a lot of different plastic colors making up the coloring on the toy. And between those two toys, I was able to work out there's a lot of different layouts, basically. There's like 6 or 7 different possible colors you can have on one figure. This, all the plastic is gray or gunmetal. All of it. Every bit of purple you see on this is paint.
Okay.
Which also means there's a lot of places on it that are chipping, but it just the sheer amount of paint on this is bizarre. I don't know why they would not take advantage of some of the plastic use on this, but at the same time, it kind of makes me want to see one that's not painted. Just, this solid, plain gray figure, because that's all the plastic that's on there. It's gray.
Are they trying to make it as expensive as possible?
It is Takara.
True.
I just it I'm baffled. I don't understand why they would do that like that.
Why is Skylar Grey in the first place?
Well, that was going to be the next point. This does not look anything like a Skywarp to me. It needs black on it, for one thing.
Yeah. When they got a discount on gray plastic.
Lousy cheap gray plastic.
Well, it's kind of like Hasbro still has all those gallons of all spark blue paint in the back of the room. They keep using it for highlight details wherever they can.
I remember back around 2000 when people were seriously accusing Hasbro of being cheap and using clear plastic in the Beast Machines toys, when in fact clear plastic is like the most expensive they can use because you can't recycle it back into itself. You know,
we are getting a U.S. version of Skywarp, though, correct?
Yeah, next year. And it's not going to look like that one. It will actually have some black on it, for one thing, and some silver paint.
Nice.
Or it could just end up canceled, you know?
Maybe.
Don't say that. I
wasn't really interested in this as a Skywarp, even when, you know, the pictures of it first went up, but it does make a really good generic purple Seeker. And for the little bit it cost me to get loose, I'm pretty satisfied with it for that. And if you can see, I love the color of the clear plastic on this. Let me see if I can get that into the light a little bit better.
Yeah,
it's orange.
It's a very dark orange. It's like,
red orange.
Well, what I was going to say, if you think about an orange Tootsie Pop, when you get it down to where it's just a little bit of the candy over the Tootsie Roll, that's what it looks like.
I know exactly the color you're talking about. Yes.
I always bite it before that, would. So.
So you don't know how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Three. No.
I'm always afraid the center's not going to be a Tootsie Roll one time.
Oh, I have stories you don't want to know.
What else would it be?
The world may never know.
The answer may surprise you.
Find out next on the Inside Edition.
You know what was the worst name for a candy, though? Blow Pop.
I don't know about that.
The lollipop with, you know, bubblegum inside, which is the worst idea also, but...
No, the worst idea is M&M's with bubblegum inside.
Did they actually do that?
No, but it would be a terrible idea.
And now someone is going to do it because you thought of it.
How about Skittles bubblegum?
I think they've actually done that.
That'd be good. Actually,
Bubblegum with the candy coating on the outside. So you'd crunch through that first, and then they'd just be the bubblegum.
One of the worst things I ever had was Grape Fig Newtons.
Fig Newtons.
Wait. Yeah. Wait. If they're filled with grape, they wouldn't really be Fig Newtons anymore, would they?
Well, that was the name. Grape Fig Newtons. Or Grape Newtons, I should say.
Yeah, Grape Newtons makes sense, yeah. But they wouldn't be Fig because they're grape.
Well, they were bad. They were at Big Lots, and was only at Big Lots for like 2 weeks, and I never saw them again. And that was 6 months after they came out, so they were not good.
Well, what do you know? Skittles Bubblegum.
I've had this. I can comment on it. It's pretty good.
Well, anything that tastes like Skittles would be good. Of course, my favorite thing is to get, you know, a few of each flavor of Skittles and eat them all at once, and then, you know, the combined flavor they produce. I want something that's just that flavor.
You can always get a whole bunch of Starburst and just wad them together into one giant softball and just take bites out of it.
You say that like I haven't done that.
That is kind of awesome.
Starbursts are fun. I like Starburst. See, this is the real superhero time part of me doing RFC, where we're done talking about the on-topic stuff, and we're just kind of, you know, whatever now.
This is basically RFC if Rob Springer hosted it, honestly, because we're talking about candy.
Not quite. Not quite, because if Rob Springer was hosting, we would still be in the middle of the news.
We love you, Rob.
Oh, totally. He just, you know, is not used to pushing a show along. And now Mickey has left to retrieve something from his refrigerator, maybe?
Yeah, he went to the kitchen.
I wish Mickey's painting of Vigo was on the wall back there so we could see it.
Well, you know, we could ask him next time to podcast from his bathroom.
That's a great idea.
Why does he have Vigo in the bathroom?
He doesn't. He has Vigo on the wall of the hallway outside the bathroom.
Okay.
But you can see it from the bathroom door.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's
unnerving when you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but otherwise.
He doesn't talk, does it?
I don't know. I try not to make direct eye contact with it.
Oh, hey,
Ender in the chat again. Ender, we want you to think about doing the Endertorial segment as a pre-record for RFC. You know, just talking about what you hate this week. And Scaleface says he always separates his candies, which somehow doesn't surprise me at all.
Does not surprise me in the least.
I wonder if Mickey's coming back. Because I kind of want to pitch the podcast from the bathroom thing.
I am completely unsurprised.
What the frick is that?
Let's see.
What
do we do now?
Oh, no, it's not you. It's something I saw. It's just...
Doc-ass saw a sea serpent.
Here, I'll put it... That's the first time I saw that, because I really haven't been paying attention to Transformers Go.
Oh.
Oh,
it's like a shark-looking thing.
Yeah, it's a shark.
It's crazy.
It's a shark ninja.
I need this.
It looks like Skybite. It's like a bloated Skybite.
I have not been paying attention to Transformers Go either. Oh, I hate myself for not paying attention to this.
It's the Ninja Shark Consultant from Cybertron.
It's like a shark mixed with like Armada Jetfire mixed with love. It's amazing.
Save up and get the third party Captain Shark.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, because I mean, I like him enough, but I do wish I had kind of waited until I saw a few more reviews. It was a little too spur of the moment, but the individual figures aren't bad. But I think I'm all goed out.
Goed at least out.
Yeah. I mean, is this going to be like Brave? Or are people going to buy this on video years down the line and watch it and love it?
Oh, I don't think so.
Brave had a really great idea in which every year was a new show. So every year was some kid's first giant robot show. They didn't interconnect, so you didn't have to worry about a long-running story other than Galgar being connected with Betterman later on down the road.
All right, so I think that's going to be the show for this week. Because when Mickey turns back into Tasha Yar, the pumpkin's about to stop being the carriage and, everybody has to go home.
That would be some trick to see him turn into Tasha Yar. I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah, I think he got called into work.
Yeah.
He was on call.
He's on call. Being on call sucks.
Yeah.
But we're glad that he made it through basically the entire show this week. So, yes. In absence, thanks to Mickey for being on and Paladin also. If you want to hear more from either of them for some reason I can't fathom, listen to Super Time every week.
And if I ever get invited on again, I'll be glad. I'll have lots of interesting things to say.
But in the meantime, you can find Don here.
So how do you find Superhero Time XV?
Well, we're at tokupodcast.com, and we're on Twitter at superhero_time, which mostly just posts updates for Power Playback when somebody thinks of it, which is usually not.
Be surprised how rare that is.
Yeah. So, Don, how do we get a hold of you somewhere?
You can reach
You're not posting your phone number on the internet for us.
My phone number. You can reach me on Twitter at HMRC for EVR, or I can be reached on Facebook as Don Ferguson.
Paladin?
I'm also on Twitter at Paladin4221, and I'm trying to give up Facebook, so screw that.
Diecast.
I'm at Twitter at Diecast2, and I'm also trying to give up Facebook. So
Facebook's going to die.
Twitter's going to be the new IPO, so.
Yeah, Twitter will die eventually also. They're, you know, doing the best they can to make it suck in the meantime, but yeah, I think Twitter is probably going to supplant Facebook eventually.
I would be more happy with Twitter if they just, like, maybe not even doubled the amount of characters you could use. Maybe, like, you know, add a third of it on to the size. You know,
there used to be a couple things. One of them was Twit Longer. You know, it was basically an external service that you send a message to and it posts as much as it can fit in the 140 character space with a link to the rest of it. The old version of TweetDeck had that as like an integrated feature, but when Twitter bought TweetDeck, it's like, no, we don't want people using these services. So, you know, they took that out, and I guess the services still exist. You just have to go use them manually instead. But the reason for the 140 character limit is so that all tweets can fit into a standard text message for people who use phones without Twitter apps.
Well, one thing
you need to get rid of the stupid blue lines now.
Yeah. Well, I use TweetDeck, so I don't have to deal with that shit.
Well, being probably one of the more recent users to both Facebook and Twitter, I just wasn't using them for any reason for the longest time. But I found that Twitter, the one good thing about Twitter is it's forcing me to be more concise. Because if I type something out, I'll ramble, or, you know, I'll just type
way more than I need.
Yes, I knew that was coming. So it has helped me learn to be more concise in my typing. So I do appreciate that. But again, another even 200 characters, Diecast, you're right, would help a lot. It's just to keep from making weird abbreviations that other people may not understand.
It'll never happen. I mean, people, they're locked into the 140 character thing. I miss the days. People don't even really use Twitter on text anymore. I mean, you do? Well,
my phone does not support, you know, modern apps. It's still on Java crap.
Ah, okay. Well, there are not that many people who do that, as far as I know, at least not in the U.S. But I miss the days when Twitter would give you updates via Google Talk. That was awesome. I would just have like an ongoing chat session all day with like people. It was pretty great.
Well, see, the thing for me is I don't have a lot of time to get out sometimes, and also where I live is kind of, you know, middle of nowhere. So it's kind of nice having these services. I feel like I'm actually having a social life without actually having to go out. Which is probably a bad thing, too, but...
That reminds me of the 1990s in IRC. Hey, I'm on Twitter at BKilby. I'm awesome.
But, Don's right about Twitter teaching you to make better economy of your words.
There's definitely something in that.
I saw a monkey in a restaurant. It was awesome. I put it on Twitter, at BKilby.
But you know what is... At school, they were always trying to, you know, use adjectives, you know, be descriptive. And in Twitter, you can't do that.
It's use, just good writers Twitter. Use fewer adjectives.
Yeah.
Twitter's for stupid. It's like a lot of the stories that I've wrote over the years. I've gotten too flowery with my language. Although, when you're writing a story for publication, you want to describe a scene so the reader gets a good idea of what it looks like in their head. But when you're in a conversation, you need to keep it short and sweet. So I think people that can learn to master both kinds, keeping it
right,
concise for business and then for other writing, be descriptive. If you can learn both, it'll be a benefit that, you know, you'll carry throughout your life.
Yeah, both forms are acceptable. They just have specific context where they're appropriate.
Oh.
This is the worst English class ever.
Actually, compared to my college class, this is the best English class ever.
So, Diecast, are we having a hangout tonight?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we'll be wrapped up here in a little bit. So, Everybody, thanks for watching, and if you can, head over to the Hangout. I won't be there.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.